I ran across this actually on the news, actually one of the news websites. I think it was yesterday I found it. But I wound up hearing it on the radio today, so if any of you heard it on the radio, maybe you've already heard it. But I thought this was kind of interesting. It says, British bishops urge a carbon fast for Lent. Yes, several prominent Anglican bishops are urging Christians to keep their carbon consumption in check this Lent. Several prominent Anglican bishops are urging Christians to keep their... I just read that sentence. Maybe I better use Brother Stevens' glasses. Maybe I better put them both on. Anyways, you know Lent is a 40-day period of, quote, penance, before Easter. And I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, I roomed with one guy, Tom Roberts. Great guy. Nut. Absolute nut. But he was Catholic. And that back during that time, I didn't understand a whole lot. And, you know, I mean, I was going to church, and my wife and I had been going to church. But, you know, honestly, at the time, I was young, I was a Marine, I was invincible, and I hadn't really fully realized just how much I needed God in my life, but still a pretty decent fella. But Tom Roberts, I remember the first time I had ever heard of Lent, he was my roommate, and he gave up beer for Lent. And for the life of me, I couldn't understand why he would do that. But he gave up, and I was going, what's Lent? I had never heard of Lent before, but that's my first encounter with Lent. But anyway, this year's initiative aims to convince those observing Lent to try a day without an iPod or mobile phone in a bid to reduce the use of electricity and thus trim the amount of carbon dioxide spewed into the atmosphere. The Bishop of London, Reverend Richard Charities, said the poorest people in developing countries were hardest hit by man-made climate change. He said Tuesday that the carbon fast was, get this guys, an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God in a practical way. That would reduce a lot of emissions, wouldn't it? All right. Okay, let's go ahead because we're going to have to hurry here. You know, one of the most tragic events during the Reagan presidency was a Sunday morning when the Marine barracks in Beirut was bombed, and there were hundreds of Americans killed or wounded as they slept. It was October 23rd in 1983, and a day that Ronald Reagan called the saddest of his presidency and maybe his life. Some of you may remember that. I know I was thinking about that. I was in the Marine Corps during that time frame. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty bad when history happens when you were a part of it. somebody drove a truck bomb into the Marine barracks in Beirut, and it shattered the building with more than 12,000 pounds of TNT. It was the, according to the FBI, the biggest non-nuclear explosion since World War II. It killed 241 service members, including 221 Marines. A few days after the tragedy, Marine Corps Commandant General Kelly visited some of the wounded survivors in the Frankfurt, Germany hospital. Among them was a young Marine by the name of Corporal Jeffrey Nashton, and he was severely wounded in the incident. Nashton had so many tubes running out of his body that witnesses said he looked more like a machine than a man, yet he survived. Many of the wounded were taken to hospitals in Europe, and Nashton wound up in Germany. And the Marine Commandant just happened to stop by there to see those Marines en route to Beirut. Kelly walked into the ward. General Kelly walked into the ward where Nashton was lying in bed, and he later stated that he had never seen more tubes coming out of a single man. But the explosion, the dust had blinded Nashton, and when General Kelly walked up to his bed and introduced himself, Nashton said he thought someone was putting him on. He thought somebody was playing a trick on him. So he reached up and he grabbed the man's collar and he felt one, then two, then three, then four stars. And he realized that was actually the Commandant of the Marine Corps sitting there next to his bed. And when he realized that, he couldn't speak because of all the tubes and everything in his mouth and nose. And he motioned for a pencil, you know, to write something down. So they brought him a scrap piece of paper on the back of his medical chart, and he grabbed a pen and he wrote down on this piece of paper for the Commandant of the Marine Corps, Semper Fi. Semper Fi. Which, of course, is the Marine Corps motto. It means always faithful. Always faithful. With these two simple words, you know, Corporal Nashton kind of spoke for millions of Americans. And there's a lot of military folks and a lot of people that have remained faithful. Can you imagine lying there on that bed? You get the chance to talk to the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and you write Semper Fi in that condition. Pretty amazing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Now, Father, we've once again embarked to come here on a Wednesday night, hopefully to get something from the Word of God that can be an encouragement, a help, and, Father, something that will speak to our hearts. I do pray that you give me the words to say, and that, Lord, that these people here who have given up of their time and their effort to be here might take something away that will be a benefit to them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And once again, time just seems to fly, and we are going to have to hurry to get through with this. I don't have the luxury of doing like multi-week series, which is probably good. But so I just get one shot to try this. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says this. Take a look down at verse 12. And the Apostle Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now, every time I read through that passage, this verse seems to really stop me in my tracks. And I just have to sit back and really just kind of ponder it for a while. Here, Paul's writing to young Timothy, and he takes the time to thank the Lord for putting him into the ministry. And with all the perils that Paul faced, you know, the shipwrecks, the near-death experience of not-death experience, the beatings, the rejections, the despising of men, all that stuff, Paul's still grateful. And one of the things that always just captures me in the middle of that verse there, it says that he counted me faithful. I mean, Paul's almost, he's almost in awe of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ looked down at him and counted him faithful. And you know what, brethren? That is a pretty amazing thing to be counted, just to be counted faithful. And so I'd just like to take a couple moments here tonight and look at just being faithful. You know, God puts a high price on you and I being faithful. And there's just a couple things in the Bible, and then we'll go home and, you know, get out of the cold weather. A couple things just about being faithful. I'd like to say first, in relating to the subject of being faithful, is that faithful has got several things that it is. One of the first things that faithful is just refreshing. Take a look at Proverbs 25, if you would. Take a look at Proverbs 25, 13. Proverbs 25, 13. And in Proverbs 25, 13, the Bible says this. It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. You know, one of the things, yeah, think of that young Marine sitting there in that bed, and he gets a chance to talk to the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And the reverence and the respect that a Marine has for the Commandant of the Marine Corps is pretty amazing. I remember, you know, back in the Marine Corps days, we had to learn the chain of command, and the Commandant of the Marine Corps was, I mean, he wasn't the president, but he was pretty close. And it wasn't a political office, so it didn't matter whether you had Republicans or Democrats in office. You see, the Commandant of the Marine Corps was a Commandant of the Marine Corps. And this young Marine steps up and he writes down the words, Semper Fi. Semper Fi. Always faithful. And I tell you what, one of the things that faithfulness is, brethren, is it is very refreshing. You get a Commandant that runs across after an experience like that at Beirut, and he gets one of his Marines that talks about being faithful. That's pretty amazing. In Acts 16, 14, and 15, you have a young woman in the Bible named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto those things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You know, being faithful, brethren, is refreshing. It is refreshing. Here you have Lydia, and she was found faithful. She winds up getting baptized, and she says, you know what, if you found me faithful, come into my house, and I'll refresh you for a while. I'll fix you something to eat. I'll wash your feet. I'll set you down on the couch. You can relax a little while. You know what, brother? I'm gonna refresh you. And you know, as a saint of God, isn't it refreshing to find people who are faithful? I remember, this only happened one time in 20 some years of visitation, walking the streets, knocking on doors. I remember one time we were walking down the street and we knocked on a door, and we talked to a couple, and they were saved. It was a husband and wife, younger couple, and I thought it was kind of neat. So we had a good conversation, went on our way down the road, and we're heading down to the next house. Next thing I know, I turn around, and the husband's running out of the house after us down the street. And he's trying to get our attention. So I think it was Teresa and I. We stop, and we turn around, and he brought us up two bottles of water out of the refrigerator, just two simple little bottles of water. And I thought to myself, you know what? Now, what a blessing. What a blessing. I mean, to take the time out of your day to run after a couple of people who just knocked on your door that you don't know from Adam, you know, talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then provide them some water, just a refreshing gesture. You know what those two folks were? They were faithful. They were faithful. I tell you what, there's been many times when I've been refreshed by the saints during some pretty dark times in my life. There's been a lot of times where the saints have refreshed me just being around them. And I'm sure they have you as well. You know, it's a being faithful is a way to refresh the saints. It's very refreshing to the saints. You know, but you don't have to be old and over the hill and stuff like that to be faithful. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Just talking about just a simple subject of faithfulness. 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 34. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house and shall walk before my anointed forever. You know, being faithful is very refreshing. And here you have Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Lord gets them out of the way, kills them, and raises up young Samuel. You know, Samuel's a youth. And he's a young man. And, you know, teens, I tell you, you want to know what's faithful? You want to know what's refreshing? Is to find a young man, a young man or a young woman, a teenager that's faithful. It's refreshing when you see that. You know, faithfulness, it doesn't matter how old you are, faithfulness is refreshing. A refreshing quality to see in a saint of God. In the book of Titus, it says, if any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children. Right? Qualifications for, qualifications for a deacon, for pastors, having faithful children. Faithfulness. The Lord puts a lot of weight on just faithfulness. I don't mean to drop names or anything like that here, but I can talk about him since his dad's not here because he's in Pensacola preaching. But I remember during his early teen years, going to camp and mission trips and different things like that. I remember seeing a young man as he was growing up and turning into a young man, and I got to thinking, and you know what? He was a relatively attractive young man. And the girls just flocked all around him. Didn't matter where he was. He didn't even have to try, and they flocked all around him. And I remember thinking to myself, is this guy ever going to learn to be faithful? And sure enough, you know, he grew up. He found out what it was like to be faithful. He got married, been faithful. And you know what? He's been faithful to the Lord, too. I tell you what, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see a youth that turns out faithful. Because a lot of them don't. Teens, a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. You know what? You got to cross that threshold, and you got to get to the point where, you know what? You want to be faithful. You want to be true. It's refreshing. It's refreshing. It's pretty safe. It's pretty safe and pretty refreshing when you run across other Christians that take that idea of being faithful to heart. In Proverbs 11, it says this: "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." You know what's refreshing? You know what's refreshing as a saint? Is a saint of God who's taking great care to become faithful, and you can trust them with things that you're going through. They're not the gossipy type, you know, busybodies running around talking about you behind your back because whatever, they don't like the color of your hair or your car or whatever. Or they just, you know, they don't like you very much, so they're going to talk about you. They'll smile to your face. You know what's a blessing? I tell you what, it's refreshing to have some faithful saints. Saints that concealeth the matter. You go to them in confidence, you know what? They keep it in confidence. That's refreshing. You go to somebody in confidence, you're dealing with something, struggling with something. Maybe it's a family matter. It doesn't even have to be about you. Maybe about somebody else. You know, somebody in your family is going through a hard time. You go to a friend, a brother in Christ, and you go to them in confidence and talk with them. And you know, you don't want everybody, this whole thing getting out because it's kind of delicate. You know what? It's awful refreshing when you find somebody that's faithful in that area. Faithfulness. Brethren, faithfulness. In Proverbs 14:5, it says, "A faithful witness will not lie." In 27:6, it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." It's a blessing to have brethren that won't kick you when you're down. Brethren that won't gossip about you. Brethren that'll, you know, will stand up and help correct you if you go astray. But you know what? They're faithful to you during that time. I read through that verse in 1 Timothy, and Paul says, you know, he says, "The Lord counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And every time I read through that, it stops me in my tracks. The Lord puts a lot of emphasis on being faithful, on being faithful. And you know what? It's refreshing when you find somebody that is. It's refreshing. Not only is it refreshing, but I tell you what, faithfulness is a rewarded quality. And if you will, turn to Matthew 25:21. Matthew 25, and you know the passage well. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You know what? The Lord rewards faithfulness. Faithfulness isn't only refreshing, but it's rewarding. I tell you, we were talking about this the other day just in Sunday school class. In fact, this last Sunday, talking about how the Lord rewards both good and evil. And, you know, he doesn't necessarily do it instantaneously. I was telling the teens, you know, it's not like you smoke a cigarette and 3 seconds later you're going to die of lung cancer. It takes time for the rewards to come, good or bad. Good or bad. But the Lord does reward faithfulness. The Lord does reward faithfulness. And, you know, all too often, I think people forget that. People forget that. The Lord rewards faithfulness. In Psalm 31, it says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful." The Lord preserveth the faithful. You know, again, reading through there and reading that verse in 1 Timothy, thinking of Paul sitting down there writing that out. And you know what you got, brethren, just by being faithful? And you got the Lord preserving you. You got the Lord rewarding you. You got the Lord taking care of you. Faithfulness is a high calling. It's something that we all should be, but all too often we're not. Not the way we should be. Not the way we should be. Hebrews 11 talks about Sarah. It says, "The faith of Sarah herself receiveth strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child through faith when she was past age." Man, brethren, the Lord rewards faithfulness, both good and evil. You know, we often quote the verse here, and a lot of times teens forget this, and that's what we were talking about this Sunday. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says this. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. We forget. We forget. Sometimes we don't equate faithfulness with blessings, or lack of faithfulness with sometimes something other than blessings. Faithfulness, brethren. There was a time back in 1780 when in Hartford, Connecticut, the Congress was in session, the state Congress, and the day has gone down in New England history as a terrible foretaste of Judgment Day. Because at noon, the skies turned from blue to gray, and by mid-afternoon had blackened over so densely that in a more religious age, men fell on their knees and begged a final blessing before the end came. So here you have, separation of church and state. Here you have Congress in session, a state Congress, and the weather gets bad, and they fall on their knees and start begging God to help them. Pretty amazing. And the Connecticut House of Representatives, again, was in session, and some of the men fell down, and others clamored for an immediate adjournment. The Speaker of the House, one Colonel Davenport, came to his feet. He silenced them and said these words, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, that candles may be brought." That's pretty good. When was the last time you heard a politician accused of being faithful? 1780. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know what he was looking forward to? He was looking forward to be rewarded just simply for his faithfulness. Faithfulness isn't only refreshing and rewarding, but you know what, brethren? It's required. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 2. The Bible says this. It says, "Moreover, it is required in servants that a man be found faithful." And there's a couple of cases back in the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah 13, he says, "And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelima the priest and Zadok the scribe and of the Levites, Padiah. And next to him was Hanan the son of Zachor, the sons of Mattaniah. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren." I'd just like to say this. Faithfulness, brethren, faithfulness is a requirement for you and I as Christians. It's a requirement. You know, you think of faithfulness, the first thing that pops into your head is marriage vows and standing up and being faithful to your husband or wife. And that's a good thing. And that should be. It's a requirement. It should be that way. but I say this. I say if you're ever going to amount to anything at all in this life, or in the next, listen, as a man or a woman, a husband or a wife or a saint of God, anything else, you need to be faithful. Brethren, you need to be faithful. I know a lot of people who have a real hard time, keeping their word or doing what they commit to, or, they head down one track for a while and then they change and move down something else. Brethren, you need to be faithful. The Lord puts a high price on faithfulness. It said there in 1 Corinthians, it says that that it's required for a steward that he be faithful. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. All too often, I was talking to somebody. Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody just about this new generation, I think it was at work, and different things that, oh, it was my boss. I was talking to him, and he just got back from a leadership meeting at work. And they were talking to him about how the workplace is evolving and is changing, and you're having to work with different types of people nowadays than you did before. And one of the cases that they gave to him was, he said, it's nothing now for a supervisor or a human, human rights office, to get a call, HR department, to get a call from an employee's parents. Saying Johnny's sick or asking for time off. I'm sitting there scratching my head. I'm laughing. I'm going, Kurt, you got to be kidding. You know what? People aren't even faithful enough to take care of simple things. I don't know. Which, it's refreshing, it's rewarding. Brother, it is a requirement. If you're going to go anywhere in this life or do anything, if you're going to have any type of a marriage, you got to be faithful. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Right? I mean, I understand mistakes are made and things like that happen, and you can forgive and people can get over all kinds of things and the Lord can restore things and all that. But you know what it takes? I mean, it takes being faithful. It takes being faithful. Like I said, I don't know. I read through there and just read Paul sitting there talking, and he's amazed that the Lord counted him faithful. That's why Paul was who he was. That's why Paul did what he did. The Lord looked down at that Saul, that young man, and he says, you know what I find there in that young character? I find a man who's going to be faithful. I can use that. And he takes him from a reprobate, no good, you know, nothing, and turns him into the apostle to the Gentiles. Faithfulness. It's a high calling. It's a high calling. And it's required. It's required, brother. Sadly though, you know what? It's a rare quality. It's a rare quality. Take a look at Proverbs, and I am trying to hurry, but take a look at Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Something simple, something that we all know, something that we all are aware of. A simple quality like faithfulness, character trait of faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says this. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. A faithful man who can find. Now I know, you know, most of the time you preach about topics like this, and quite frankly, in our congregation, you're kind of preaching to the choir. Because I know you folks here are faithful. I mean, you're in church all the time, you're here, you're doing right, you're serving the Lord, you're trying to raise your families for the Lord. You're faithful. And that's a good thing. But the vast majority of folks aren't faithful. And there in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know what that indicates? Indicates it's a rare quality. It's a rare quality. Such an important thing, something that God considers so highly, and that God honors so highly, but yet it's a rare quality. Faithfulness. Brethren, I don't know where you've been through in life or what you've gone through in life or some of the challenges you've faced, but I know they're probably very, very typical of men and women. And one of the things that you got to remember is the Lord requires faithfulness. And it's rare. It's rare for you to be sitting here on a Wednesday night Bible study when the pastor's gone. And it was kind of warm outside today for Minnesota, but it's cold outside. There's snow on the ground. But yet, you've taken the step to be faithful. Amen. You know what? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know, you'll never know just how much your faithfulness will really impact other folks. And what you've got is rare, unfortunately, among humans. Just being faithful. I mean, you take the type of company you're in. Daniel, right? The presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Daniel was faithful. You go over to the book of Revelation and you read about some tribulation saints. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. In Revelation 2 it says, I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. You know, I was thinking about this as I was putting this, you know, together, just trying to throw some ideas, because I knew Wednesday nights always seem to go very fast and there's not a lot of time. But I was sitting down thinking about just the topic of being faithfulness, of being faithful. And I was thinking about, you know, you folks in the church, and I was thinking, you know what? You're among a good crowd. You're among a good crowd. That's a blessing. Because most people aren't. I mean, you got Daniel, you got Moses, you got martyrs, you got Paul, you got, you know what, brethren? You stay faithful, you're among a good crowd. Faithfulness is a rare quality. A lot of people falter at it. A lot of people don't have it. A lot of people never approach it. Faithfulness is thorough in the performance of a duty. It's true to one's word. It's loyal. It's consistent. It's adhering to the truth. Synonyms are devoted, constant, loyal, dependability, devotion. It implies long and continued and steadfast fidelity to whatever one is bound to by a pledge, duty, or obligation. Faithfulness. Brethren, you're in the company of some pretty good men who the Lord found faithful. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And I'm going to try to wrap things up here. Faithfulness. Some of the qualities of faithfulness. Refreshing. It is refreshing. It's refreshing to find a saint who's faithful. A lot of different ways, a lot of different categories, a lot of different manifestations of it, but it's refreshing. It's rewarding to be faithful. It's required. It is unfortunately rare. And finally, faithfulness needs to be renewed. It needs to be renewed. Take a look in Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Psalm 12, starting in verse 1. The Bible says to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." You know, finally, one thing about faithfulness is just simply this. Brother, just because you were faithful last week doesn't mean you're going to be faithful next week. It needs to be renewed. I mean, all those great things, you know, you strive for the mastery and you run the race and all those great things about faithfulness and about the Christian life. You know what it needs to be? It needs to be renewed every day. You know, you almost got to wake up in the morning and you know, at some point in time you think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to be true and faithful to the Lord today. Because it's easy to lose it. It's a quality, something that the Lord places that much value on. You know the devil's got to be after it. And you know what, if you're not careful, it's easy to stop being faithful. It's easy to stop being faithful. And we can't let ourselves go there. It's not good enough to be faithful at one time. It needs to be renewed. Taken up again. You know what? It needs to be restored, replenished. Fred Craddock, in an address to a bunch of ministers, caught the implications of faithfulness, consecration. And he said this. He said, "To give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready. Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table and saying, 'Lord, here's my life. I'm giving it all.' But the reality for most of us is that he sends us to the bank and has us cash in the $1,000 bill for quarters. and we go through our life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there, listening to the neighbor kid's troubles instead of saying get lost, go to a committee meeting, give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It'd be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's hard to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. It needs to be renewed. A great quality to have. Refreshing quality when you run across a brother or sister that's faithful. You run across a youth that's faithful. What a blessing. It's rewarding. In the end, faithfulness, brethren, is rewarding. The Lord does require it. Unfortunately, it is rare. And it does need to be renewed. Turn to 1 Timothy 1 again, please. We'll close things down here. 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Today, my prayer, brethren, is next time you read through and you get down to 1 Timothy 1:12, you'll think about and ponder about just being faithful. All that it entails. And I didn't cover anywhere near all of it. Or the next time, brethren, you feel like quitting the Christian race, you sit back and you just give some consideration to being faithful. And when all things are said and done, you come to those words back in Matthew 25 where the Lord says unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The price of being faithful. You know, to close things down here, and I'm done, General Kelly, Commandant of the Marine Corps, went to the bedside of that young corporal and looked at him. And that young corporal scribbled out the word, Semper Fi, always faithful. An amazing feat, coming out of the Marine Corps. A few weeks later, General Kelly returned to visit that corporal once again. And when he did, he had taken those four stars off of his collar and put them on a plaque covered in glass. And he presented those four stars to that young corporal as a gift. And he said, Corporal, you deserve these more than I do. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And you know what? It all revolved around one simple Christian character trait that we can use in so many different areas that affects so many things in our life. And that's just the simple trait of being faithful. Simple trait of being faithful. And I pray that each and every one of us would stay with that trait. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord. Father, I'm always amazed when I read through the Bible and run across some of these things that sometimes, Lord, just one little word in the book can really get to you and really make you stop and ponder. And Lord, in this case, the word that got to me was just the word faithful, that Paul was marveled, Father. He marveled that you counted him faithful. And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would have a desire to be faithful to thee, would have a desire to be faithful to one another, a desire to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ and our testimony and our walk in our lives, in our actions. And Lord, that it wouldn't be just a one-time decision where we get saved and then that's all there is. But Father, it'd be a life of faithfulness to a God that saved us, to brethren that prayed for us, and Lord, to saints sometimes that we don't even know, Father, that our faithfulness might shine through to them and be an encouragement to them. And Lord, I just ask that you'd help each and every one here with that. Father, help me with that. I know that I can certainly be more faithful. And Lord, help us to reach that day where you say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, that would be the prize. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
What number is that? That's what?
Number 40. Let's all stand. We'll sing number 40.
Sunday.